Good morning once again.
Good morning.
Excuse me, so I'm going to try that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now see, that's the vibration. Did you felt the difference, didn't you? Because one was, well, good morning. It's what we say all the time. It's just a routine thing, right? See, we get complacent with things that we do, and we think, oh, yeah, good morning. But as a masterful metaphysician, and as a person who is seeking to be aware and conscious, you got to bring your A game all the time. Because now is the time we can't get too complacent. We have been asleep way too long, which is how we got where we are in the first place. So now we need to be vigilant, right? On our toes, open-hearted, open-minded. You talked about singing, open our minds. This is what's being called, being present. And even in the places that feel so familiar to us, feel commonplace. Oh, I'm just here at church doing the thing, listening to the, No. This is a spiritual happening right now. Every moment is the moment that the fullness of God is at work. And as a metaphysician, we want to capitalize on that. We want to utilize that. We want to be present so that we can bring that energy into our life and affairs. And we can't do it if we're asleep. We can't do it if we're just too comfortable. Because there's a vibration that we are emitting through every thought, every action, all the movement. So if we get in the habit of just being, the universe says to us, right? And then you want to know, well, why aren't things working out for me? Because you're not working it out. You're not unleashing the spirit, the energy, the focus, the intention, the vibration, the affirmation, right? We're just waiting for something to happen. Guess what? You are the happener, right? If there's going to be a happening, you have to be willing to become the happener. Now, I don't know if that's a word, but I'm making it one. Right? So turn to somebody and tell, I'm a happener. I'm a happener. Yeah. I am a happener. Now don't go out and say that in public because people will. You can say it amongst us. We get it. But anyway, we're going to continue this morning with our series on freedom. And we started this series at the beginning of the month as the nation was celebrating 4th of July and the concept of freedom. And I was very intrigued about this whole notion of freedom, particularly inner freedom. And whether we experience it or what stands in the way of us experiencing total freedom, the freedom to be me, the freedom to feel open and receptive to life. And how will we know when we've actually even experienced or achieved freedom? So we've been looking at these concepts, and so the title of the series has been, You'll Know You Are Free When. And we can put several things behind the when. But as I was thinking about this for the lesson this morning, and I said, you know, it really all boils down to whether we understand the power and the workings of our consciousness, as well as the quality of our consciousness. We have a saying in New Thought that life is consciousness, meaning that your life is a reflection of your thoughts and your feelings and your attitudes and your values and your perceptions and your insights. That your life begins to reflect those things. And it's what I call this morning, it's called the law of mind flow. And it might be expressed as within, so without. Or it could be, to use a digital term, garbage in, garbage out. Or it can be reflected in the metaphysical term of the law of mind action. The law of mind flow, to me, is also the law of mind action or mind in action, which says thoughts held in mind do what? Produce after their kind. And it's a creative law that we are fully aware of. At least we are aware of it at certain times. It's when we forget that law, that divine flow as within, so without, that somehow we somehow think that stuff happens out here really unbeknownst to us as to how it happens, so that we don't play any kind of part in it. It's all a happening. Remember, if there's a happening, it's because you are the what? Happener. Right? So this is a powerful time for us to really understand that clearly there's a correlation between our inner world of thought and our outer world of experience. Because this is the world, once it's out here, it's an experience, right? But it all starts from what? An inner world of thought. It all takes place in mind. And the mind is such a complex instrument, right? It really is. Because it can be used to free us, to move us into a certain feeling of freedom, or the mind can also be used to imprison us, right? To get us. Anybody been imprisoned by your own things, your own mind? So it's really complex. It's sort of like it all depends upon the direction of our thoughts and the quality of our thoughts and our feelings and our attitudes, values, perceptions, insight, all of that. All of those things that we hold determine the quality innate of our consciousness and therefore also the quality of our experience of life. Because it starts here, but it ends up out here as an experience. Well, we're so used to looking at the experience and getting entangled without taking a moment to go back and see if we can figure out what is behind. Even with today's activities, all this stuff that is happening, but there's something behind it. Even all the ugliness that we see and all this negativity, but what's behind it? What's behind hatred? What's behind, you know, casting down? It could be a number of things. Fear, sense of inadequacy, being threatened. But if we never get to what is underneath and behind the thing, then the happening will always kind of take root and we'll be entangled out here trying to manipulate the effects without getting to what? Cause. And so we want to root out the effects and stamp it out. You can do that, but if you do not root out cause, the effects are just going to what? Come back. And manifest again and again. And so we have to understand, what is it about this sense of freedom, and how am I experiencing, and what is getting in my way, and what is it that I don't know that I need to know? Remember last week's message? That we oftentimes, we don't know what we don't know? And that is quite true. But here's a deeper thought. Not only do we not know what we don't know, the nature of the mind is that it does not like not knowing. It doesn't like not knowing because it gets uncomfortable not knowing. And because it doesn't like not knowing, the mind will make stuff up. It will make it up to bring us to a level of comfort, right? Well, I don't really know about that, but I'm going to make a box that I can fit in so there I feel secure because this I think I know. And so we want to make up, begin to make up stories. Stories about what it believes is going on. Now, it's not only a problem that the mind makes up stories. That's not the real problem. The real challenge is that we begin to act upon the stories that the mind makes up. Now that's where the danger lies, because we begin to act upon the stories of the mind. And we begin to sort of hold them as true without really knowing if it's true, but we hold it as true, which then can take us down the rabbit hole, right? take us down the rabbit hole. So this whole notion of an activity of the mind to make up stuff gets us in more trouble than we want to admit to, right? It can ruin our relationships. If you're just making assumptions about what you think you know about what they said and why they said it and all that, it can ruin your relationship, and it can certainly affect our judgments, our choices, if our choices and judgments are made on stuff that is made up, that has no reality as a basis. So when somebody does something and we're not sure as to why they did it, and we don't ask, then what happens? The mind will make it up, and it will assume it knows why this happened. And then we begin to state things as if they are facts, or they are truths, or that it is right. And I do it. We all do it. You know, we say, oh, this is it. This is right. This is the way it goes, which may or may not be even close to that which is happening, right? And the why it's happening. But if we don't ask, the mind says, I'm uncomfortable with not knowing. I need to make this up. I'm going to give it a framework. And I'm going to give it a framework so that I can continue to function. So this is why this is happening. This is the story, and I'm telling it this way. This is my interpretation. This is my perception. This is how I'm seeing it. So here's the thing. You'll know that you are free when you stop making up stuff. Because we color our world by our interpretations, right? Which is just really our opinions, right? Just our thoughts. And it may be just the way that we're seeing it, but not necessarily the way it is. It's just the way that we're seeing it. And when we make up our mind that this is the way I'm seeing, we're going to stick to our, we will stick to our views, our thoughts, our opinions, right? Our perceptions, our attitude. I'm going to stick to it because in this sphere, I know I'm right. This is true. This is a fact for me. And when we get into that, and we've all been that person, and we've all known people who we're having a conversation and you can't get them to move left or right off of their center, right? And when we get into that space, there's no room for new insights. There's no room for new thoughts. There's no room for anything because we are lockstep in our own mind, in our own stories, in our own perceptions, and we become imprisoned by our own thoughts and stories. Oh, she said that because, blah, blah, blah. He did that because, blah, 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 right? Oh, this happened because, blah, blah, blah. And we need to stop with all the becauses. Because everything does not have to be explained or justified or interpreted. See, that's a conditioning of the mind. We think of, I can't just say no, I've got to tell you why I want to say no. And then that's when we get hung up, because now it's like, I really can't tell them why I really want to say no. So then we go to make it up, and there's another word for that. But I'll say spiritually creative. So we start, right, because you don't feel comfortable in just saying no. We think, I got to add something else, right? No, because you see, I got to wash my hair. Oh, no, I can't do it. Oh, because I got to. You're always justifying it. It's not necessary. And we weaken our sense of power and word when we feel we have to just simply justify what is happening. A simple no will really do. Everything doesn't have to be explained and justified, right, or interpreted in the way that we do. And actually, when you start getting clearer, you're going to find that you have more inner freedom if we can learn to stop with, it is what it is. See, stop with the because's and get into, it is what it is. Now, when I say it is what it is, what's your natural tendency? Huh? You want to know, well, what is it? You want to what? Define it, right? If I just say, well, it is what it is. No, you want to define it. You want to add to it. And sometimes learn it is what it is without. So this is how you could do it. It could be this person said, you start off with this person said this because. But it can simply become this person said this. It is what it is. You don't have to have the because, right? There's an inner spaciousness that happens when we can leave all the extras out and just be with what it is. Just see it as it is. And we'll find that we will far more less likely to feel we have judgments or that we have to blame or we have to justify or we have some emotional turmoil. When we just say, it is what it is. Or you just be clear. So you could say, well, you can start off with, you know, I had a car accident because some idiot ran the red light. That can become, I had a car accident. You don't have to add who. See, the society, we're so conditioned to fault, to find fault, to blame. That's all those things are wasted energy. They cause emotional inner turmoil and not peace. So the idiot was driving it. No, you had an accident, period. It could be that simple, right? I got turned down for this job because they couldn't see my worth. That could become, I got turned down for the job. Now, if you want to know, sometimes it might be good if you really want to know, well, was it something I can do? Because sometimes we want to ask because that asking can help to improve a situation. So rather than going, well, I got turned down because they couldn't see my worth, all right, I got turned down for the job. But if you really want to know, well, maybe there was something I could do for the next time I go, and you can inquire, is there anything that I can do? That what did you see? What did you note? Can you help me understand why I wasn't selected so that maybe the next time I go out for the next job, I can improve? That's all, that's well and good. But we don't do that. We just try to come up with something. So when you tell the friends, well, how'd it go? Did you get it? Nah, they couldn't see. That wasn't for me. Them people didn't know what they were doing. Wasn't the quality. This wasn't the place I really wanted to be. Didn't like the vibes. We gonna go there and clean it up instead of, you know what? I didn't get the job. It's really quite simple. And if we can allow each other to really be ourselves, just to be. You don't need the because's and the excuses and the interpretations, because that puts pressure on us. And if you really need to know why, then you can ask, because there are times, granted, that we do need to know the whys, right? We do, you know, we do need to know that that why is this happening? Especially if you're in a relationship. Well, then if something occurs, ask the individual. Well, what's going on here? I really would like to know, rather than you what? Making stuff up. And then relating to that person according to the stuff you made up, which means they may or may not know why you're upset, because you have a whole story going on. A whole scenario as to why they did what they did. So ask, because it's better to know than to simply just guess or to assume or to interpret. You might need to know why, because we want to improve the situation. So it's okay to bring intelligent inquiry to a situation, right? We do have an intelligence within us, and so it's okay to do that so that we can somehow get some intelligent information that's going to lead us to a higher expression or a higher state of knowing. Because all this guessing and making up stuff is going to get us into trouble, and it takes us down the rabbit hole that we don't want to go. Now, I know some of you may be out there thinking, well, you know, I'm not making stuff up. I'm just using my acute ability of the mind. Right? I'm just using my cognitive abilities to discern what is going on. Because I've got a good mind and I'm very perceptive. I think I'm very perceptive, right? And all those things might work if you're trying to solve a mathematical problem or an equation. But they don't always work when you're dealing with human behavior and when you're dealing with people. Something else has to take place. And you might say, yes, but I'm so, you know, I've got this whole thing with perception. My perceptions are usually right on. And I say that about myself, and usually they are. There's a little challenge, though, with perceptions. Here's the definition of perception according to the dictionary. A perception is the ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through the senses, or a way of regarding, understanding, or interpreting something, a mental impression. Now, there's a key word here that I'm going to read it again. The ability to see, hear, or become aware of something through the senses, or a way of regarding, understanding, interpreting something, a mental impression. What do you think the operative word might be here? Through the senses. See, I knew a metaphysician would get it. Yeah, through the senses. See, your perceptions come, your ability to perceive something, to know something, can come through your perceptions. But your perceptions are based upon your senses. That is your ability to see, hear, touch, feel, smell. That's how we get information. The challenge is that your senses aren't always true. Everything that you see is not what you think it is. When I give the new members class, I always tell the example, there's somebody that runs through the room, right? And they may have on a particular color hat, a shirt, pants, and some sneakers. And there'll be all of you here, and I say, well, what did the person have? And that one person says, well, they had on a white hat, a blue shirt, some red sneakers, and black pants. The person goes, no. The hat was blue and the shirt was white. And they had on red sneakers and blue pants. No. The hat, somebody might say, they didn't even have a hat on. They had on something else. And the shirt, because this is why eyewitnesses is not a valid witness. Because eyewitness can what? Change. The perceptions of what you think you see may not be what you see. It may be simply what the mind is telling you that you see, but it might not be what is. I remember, Tim, you might remember this, the example when I was taking the greater leadership diversity course, and they had us all look at this film. There were 61 people in this. I don't know if I shared this with you before, but there were 61 people, and the instructions were, we were to follow the black dot, wherever it went on the screen, right? So when they showed the picture, the dot comes on, and everybody's following where the dot goes, and it goes over here, and it's over there, and we're all just... Then they say, they turn that off, and they say, well, how many of you saw the man in the gorilla suit? And we're going, what? Did you see the man in the gorilla suit? And 61 people said, no, what man in the gorilla suit? They showed it again. Same thing. The black dots are moving all over the place, but guess what? There's a man in a gorilla suit who comes across the screen, and he's doing all kinds of things, right? Doing this, and then he moves off. Not one person saw that. You know why? Because the brain was conditioned to follow the dots, so we only saw what? The dots. Nobody saw the man, and he was doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Now, when we were told to look, guess what? What did we see? The man with the gorilla suit. See, everything you see, so perceptions and your senses are fine for gaining information, and we need to use that. But there's a whole nother realm that may be taking place of which we cannot see with the naked eye. And so when we think, well, I got it, I see what's happening, I know what's happening, you may not see a doggone thing. And you might not know what's really happening. Unless you begin to look, what, deeper with some spiritual eyes and a different kind of focus and a different kind of energy and a different kind of purpose. It's not all about this seeing here with the eyes. It's about seeing and perceiving, but on a deeper level. And there's a higher way to know. There's a higher way to get information beyond just the senses. And this higher way of knowing is what I call and is, not just me, but what is our intuitive ability to know. And here's the good news. Everybody is fashioned and equipped with an intuitive capacity to know.
You see, it's what it is, that, you know, the GPS system, what is that called? The global positioning system? Well, your intuition is your God positioning system. It is the Spirit of the living God in you that is always available and present and bringing you, imparting to you divine inspiration, impressing you with the right thing to see and to know and to be about. It is really powerful, but it's called a direct sense of knowing. So here's the thing. It's intuition. Intuition. In or inner tuition. And tuition is not just what you pay for college. Tuition is related to knowing, right? It's about knowledge. It's about knowing. So this intuition is inner knowing. And it's not just inner knowing. It's direct knowing. And I want to make this clear, because this is what sometimes gets me when we talk about intuition. Intuition is not guessing. It is not a hunch. It is not a gut feeling. That's indigestion. That is not intuition. And people say, oh yeah, intuition is a hunch. No. See, those are layman terms for what intuition is. It's the entertainment. Oh, it's a gut feeling. It's a hunch. No. As a metaphysician, you have an understanding that intuition is a deeply spiritual connection to the divine. It is a spiritual happening, right? It is not some out here guessing. It is from the realm of spirit and the realm of the divine and the realm of God. And in God, in divine omniscience, there is no guessing. There is no confusion. There is no fuzziness, right? Because then we'd be in trouble. There is direct knowing, and the divine knows all. And the knowingness of God is absolute good. It's the creative essence. So when you really want to know what you know that you know, you need to begin to start to align your capacity to know with the divine. Which is why we are always stressing, meditate, pray, make yourself available, open your consciousness. What? Seek a what? A higher consciousness. Seek that consciousness. Connect with that consciousness. Have that what I call that divine and direct download. Have that ability happening in your being. Now, when it comes and you begin thinking about it, you are no longer intuiting. Right? And this is where we get messed up, because we will have a divine download. You'll have an intuitive moment, an intuitive experience, and then you start thinking about it. And when you start thinking, then you get all up in the mix again, and you start, well, now maybe questioning and analyzing and whatever. Wait a minute. It came. And we're not used to it coming, so we have to what? The mind's going to do what? It's got to make up stuff. And you can substitute the other word, too, because the mind likes to make up stuff. Right? You've had the download, and you now have convinced yourself of something else. Because you allowed what? The thoughts to get all in the way and then take all the questions, all the what ifs and the buts and the ands. And so we begin to confuse ourselves. When you become on this spiritual path, your practice has to be allowing spirit to impart itself, its presence, its wisdom, its guidance, its direction upon you and to you. And when you get accustomed to it, I say, or practice in it, you'll know when it is a divine impartation and when it is simply your ego or a thought coming from your subconscious, because we have to be careful. We can be deluded. There are many people who say, well, God told me to do this, and God no more told them to do that than the man in the moon. It's coming from, and it may be coming from what they want to do, but we've got to be able to decipher. Is this a God thought, which is intuition? See, because God doesn't think, man thinks. God ideates. God creates divine ideas of which we think upon and create from. I don't want to get too deep in that. You got to take my class, metaphysics. But I want us to understand that we especially in this day and age where we are called upon to be vessels, which means that we want to make sure that what is running through our consciousness is that which is coming from the Most High, that it is the highest quote-unquote thoughts we can think, but it's your intuition. See, the four functions, you have intuition that influences your thinking, and your thinking influences your feeling, and your feeling then influences your senses. That is the direct way it should come. Intuition, knowing, awareness enters into your consciousness. From that awareness, from that knowing, you then begin to plan, do, think, whatever, and then you have your feelings, and then it gets expressed. But we reverse the process. We take the senses. We think the senses are real. We let the senses influence our feeling. This doesn't feel good, blah, 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 blah. The feelings that influence your thinking, and I already said that there's error in your what? Senses, right? So now we let the senses influence the feeling. Your feeling tries to influence your thinking, and your thinking cannot influence your intuition. You're cut off. So we've got to get this process to go in a healthy way. We've got to maybe, you know, get aware of, let me sit down and make myself available to the Spirit. And the more you do, the clearer vessel you become, and the more downloads you get, the more guidance, your GPS is starting to turn itself on, and you don't have to guess, you don't even have to think, you will know. Ye shall what? Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's about knowing, not about guessing, thinking, perceiving, feeling. All those are good tools, but it must follow first from the knowingness of who you are, the knowingness of who God is. The scripture says this: spiritual things must be spiritually discerned, right? And if you're doing too much thinking, then you're not intuiting. And 1 Corinthians says this: now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. I think that's such a powerful thing. We have now received not the spirit of the world. I don't care what the world knows. But it says, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And what does God give us? Divine ideas, peace, harmony, prosperity, abundance, love, health, wholeness, right? All of the fruit of the Spirit. So meditate, become open and receptive to what the Spirit is already giving you, so that you can know this truth, and you can feel this truth, and you can be empowered from on high, so that you'll know that you will be free when you begin to live and move at the prompting and guidance of God. You'll know that you are free when your consciousness is empowered from on high. You'll know that you are free when you no longer get caught up in the mental mashings and mind games, right? Or entanglements of the mind. You'll know that you are free when you no longer make up stories and interpretations based on your perceptions, but you base them upon the spiritual intuitive knowing that is given to you. You'll start having much more freedom. You'll be free in your inner world. You'll be clear. You'll be at peace. You'll begin to be this vessel now without the clogging. See, we're all clogged up. Clear all that away. Let that go. There is no because. This is happening because. This is happening. Let it go. Because that which is for you to know and do and be about will be given to you. And from that place of knowing, you move, you live, and you have your being in God. You'll know that you are free when you truly know. You'll truly know that you are free when you know. Ye shall know the truth. And what? Ooh, you shall know the truth and what?
The truth shall set you free.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Namaste and blessings. Blessings.